Welcome to the AquariMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 138, recorded November 5th, 2012.
Greetings, AquariMaxers.
Hello.
I'm afraid Kelly is going to be able to contribute minimally because her voice is suffering from some sort of respiratory ailment. Temporarily, so
I will try not to cough in your ear.
She's here in spirit and in body, but she just won't
not in voice.
Talk as much as she usually does, which is a pity. Okay, so our first guest.
We have a guest?
Well, we have a cyber guest. Tony in New York is having an adventure right now.
Oh, which we should add a note to, too, is we're glad he's okay after the storm, and all of our other listeners on the East Coast, we hope you guys are all well and safe and didn't have too much damage and that your fish are all okay, too.
Yes, indeed. That's my sentiments exactly, so thank you for voicing those. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I hope everyone's all right. So Tony did mention that, because I had asked him, we were corresponding about various things, and I asked him how everything went, and he said in his particular area he was fine, he was all right. They did have some issues, but not as bad as many other places. So, all right, he says this is his adventure's other adventure, a much more interesting adventure going on. Says, I am pleased to announce that I have discovered killifish fry in my 6.6-gallon office aquarium. They are of the Fundulo Panchax gardneri nigerianus misagi variety. Now, that's quite a mouthful, and I hope I sent it right, but yeah. So that's really cool. Congratulations, Tony. While doing a water change, I noticed that some teeny swimmers were avoiding the siphon, and sure enough, they were fry. I expect that they are 2 millimeters long each or so, probably newly hatched and very active. This tank is planted with Java moss, and I believe that this may have kept them going. I agree. Java moss is a lovely thing for fry and for a place for harboring infusoria and so on. He says, I have been feeding the parents on Hikari dried shrimp. It is a very messy food. However, now I think that may be helpful since there are always scraps floating down through the water and doubtless providing a source for infusoria as well. He says, with an eyedropper, I have removed 3 of the fry in a separate rearing container, and I'll keep my eyes open for more. The rearing tank is about 1/2 gallon and has some gentle aeration. It, too, has a nice clump of Java moss in it as well, taken from the main aquarium. I will add live food to the rearing tank when I am first able, seed, shrimp, or Daphne. I've been told that a Daphne culture is a great place to raise killifish fry. Drop them in and let them mingle.
And that makes sense, because some killifish are vernal pool organisms just as many Daphne are. Living in temporary seasonal pools. And so it's probably not too far a stretch of the imagination to say that there are places where killifish and Daphnia coexist in the same pools. I'm sure that occurs. Now, not all Daphnia live in vernal pools. Some of them live in permanent lakes and things like that, and the same is true for killifish. There are plenty of killifish that are not annual killies, so to speak, where...
Annuals?
Right.
Do they have perennial killifish?
They do.
You can go down to the garden store and buy your annual killifish and your perennial killifish.
Well, you can't really go to the garden store and do it, I guess. But, I mean, they're called annual killifish because in the wild they only live, part of a season, as long as the water is present in their temporary pools.
And then do they do, eggs dry up and then when the pool comes back they hatch?
Yes. Oh. And not all killifish are like that, but there are many that are, and those are known as the annual killifish.
They're brine shrimp wannabes.
Well, that's the thing. They're vernal pool organisms.
It was a joke.
Well, no, you're right, though. They are, in a way, because they have a similar life cycle. They have a diapause in a cyst stage, and then they mature once the conditions, reach the point where it allows them to hatch, grow, and reproduce, so it kind of makes sense. So, anyway, there you go. So, yeah, that's really cool that Tony's killifish have been reproducing for him, and he actually sends a couple other updates on that, too.
He said, the killifish are still doing well. He went to the store and obtained some Hikari First Bites. Superfine, slow-sinking fish food for fry, and yes, they're eating it. It's quite cool to watch their movements, which are just like adult killies. A sort of dart, then a pause, then another dart. So they're doing it. They're surviving. They're eating the food. So that's cool. And then he says also that they're in there with a lot of Java moss, and there's some algae in there, but it seems to be fine. The Flourish Excel that he's been using has helped the Java moss to grow. And he's putting some zebra nerites in there that were in a four-week quarantine are now going in there. So maybe that'll clean that up again. Clean it up a bit, get rid of the algae a bit. But it seems to be doing fine. And one more update, he said that he has 5 fry now, and they're still swimming and very energetic. So far, so good.
That's great.
Yeah, there's nothing like noticing some fry in a tank and, you know, just being able to start raising them. It's a fun part of the hobby. So, vicariously, I'm enjoying your killifish adventure from, you know, this distance away. It's still fun for me to know that that's going on and that that's going well for you. So please keep us updated on that, and hopefully you'll find some more, and the ones that you do have will continue to thrive.
Maybe we should count during this podcast.
Count what?
Well, you probably guys noticed a few seconds ago the phone rang once, and then I muted it. It was, in fact, yet another political recording telling us who to vote for. For those of you who are not in the United States, tomorrow is Election Day. And I can't even tell you how many stupid... I think I'm just going to vote for whoever called me the least. So we'll see how many more calls we get during the podcast. Okay, we're going to give you our beta update. I feel like we need a beta theme song for beta update. Like the surface area song, the beta theme song.
Yeah, it would be nice if we had some sort of...
You know, eventually we'll just put out a CD.
Something that says, like, beta headline news, and it plays a little jingle or something.
A little... You know those little, like, bulletin noises on the news?
Yeah. Yeah, they sound like telegraph messages or something.
I don't know if they do that anymore, though, because nobody sends telegraphs anymore.
That's true. Well... Let's give them our biggest news, maybe, is that all our males are now jarred, unless we have some late-onset males that still resemble females, which is possible, because we've got a couple of runts in there that might eventually develop into males. But we've jarred 31 males, and there are 24 females, making 55 fish in all.
So that's a pretty good number for first batch.
Right. We jarred the last of the males the other day, and didn't have any serious problems before that, because we'd take some out and, you know, they would be that those would begin to grow and develop, and they grow like crazy once you take the other ones out. And we've noticed a lot of development. Remember that male I showed you yesterday, his tail, how big it was?
Yeah,
there we're getting all sorts of development and some nice coloration. That's just pretty amazing. Those the ones that looked like butterflies and turned out to just be suffused with a sort of light blue.
Iridescent.
Yeah, sort of an iridescent light blue that's really nice. We've got a couple of true butterflies that look really, really nice. One of them we sold, and another one I'm keeping. I'm probably going to take it into my office at work or something. It looks amazing. It's has a really large body, and it's a very light, like a white, shiny body with very even butterflying so far. We'll see how long that lasts, but it looks really nice right now. With dark red near the bases of all the fins, and then it goes transparent around the edges of the fins.
You know what? If we get a female like that, we should name it Madam Butterfly.
Okay. I guess we could name that one Gentleman Butterfly, but it doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
Well, it doesn't have an opera named after it either.
I know. That's okay. That opera made me so sad. I don't know if I want to name anything after that opera.
Okay, fine.
I was depressed for like a week after I saw that. Holy cow. Okay, anyway.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right, this is me in cold mode when I just send completely random, irrelevant things.
That's okay.
I haven't even taken any cold medicine.
Maybe you should. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But They're also growing very fast and now taking uncrushed pellets. We're giving them the Addison's Beta Pro, and they're taking them full.
Though, you know, I did notice today not all of them can eat them.
Well, the very little runt ones
can. The kids all gave all of their fish, the jarred ones, pellets today, and I had to go and suck them back out of the water because they were just sitting there not eating.
Well, that may be them overfeeding them, too. I don't know. I'll tell you, the other day we had a near disaster. That was so scary.
I don't understand how that happened. They just spilled it in there and didn't notice.
Well, I'm not going to mention any names, but I did determine who did it, and we had a nice little chat. First of all, I said, I am so glad that you wanted to feed the bettas. That was really nice of you to think of them, and I'm glad that you were paying attention to their needs and so on. But one thing is that they got a little bit too much. And so next time...
100 pellets in the tank.
Yeah, next time you want to feed the bettas, please just talk to me and we'll make sure we get the right amount and we'll work together and we'll do that, okay? And the perpetrator said, okay. So I think it's going to be fine. But yesterday I went to go feed the bettas, and I did, and I wasn't looking very closely. But then as I was feeding, this is one reason why it pays to look at your fish while you're feeding them, looked in there, and there were about 100 pellets floating on the top, around the corners of the tank, not just at the top, but just along the edges of the tank. So I had to get out the siphon and take out more. I'd already done a water change that day, but I couldn't leave those in there without, risking serious harm. So I took quite a while to siphon them all out. But, that was a very exciting moment. But we seem to have averted disaster. And some other things that we've noticed that have been happening, the males are building bubble nests in their jars.
Already.
And you know what's funny about that? Is that the bubbles are so tiny, because they're still not full-grown fish.
It's a foamy nest.
But they're very fine bubbles. But they all started building at the same time. One day there weren't any, and the next day there were like half a dozen or more, and then they just keep showing up.
That's funny.
It's been funny to watch that happen. And we've been doing the experiments with one of our children. Xander is testing how far away they have to be before they'll flare at each other. How close they have to be in order to recognize each other and flare at each other. And they seem that the jars have to be quite close to each other,
often
nearly touching.
It depends on which of the jars they're in, too.
Right.
I think some of them distort their image more.
I agree. And refraction angles and things probably change too. With flat-sided containers, I know you can be further away. But with the jars and the way they curve, it seems to make it more difficult for them to see each other. So they have to be right up next to each other. But once they do, they really go to town flaring. But at work, for example, I have a tank, a divided tank, and then a full tank. And they're probably, the divided tank and the full tank might be 3 or 4 inches away from each other. And just the tank where there's one fish in it. It has a lot of plants and everything. And up along the side where the other tank is, there's a whole bunch of Java moss. And so they don't see each other that often. But once in a while, they'll happen to both be on that extreme side of the tank and see each other. And the one in the other tank will flare like crazy because he sees them there. And then he'll go off and get involved in something else. He's lately been building a bubble nest on the other side of the tank. So he spends a lot of time over there. But It's interesting to see. So the flat sides probably do have something to do with that, the visibility. And the colors, like I was saying before, the colors are really pretty amazing. I was not expecting the blue. We took out all of the fish the other day from the female tank. One by one, we took them out of the main tank and cataloged them. We put them into a jar. And Isaac would write down, okay, these are the traits that I'm looking at for my science project, and this is the ones that are exhibited by this fish, and wrote down all of them, which allowed us to count them. And we saw some very interesting things. He found some that have iridescent blue lips, found some that have gold speckles on them, found some that have black speckles on them. It's just very interesting. Then we have one female who has a little black marking on her side, only one who has anything like that. Just a random black marking on a very white, pure, clean body otherwise.
Maybe whoever overfit got in there with the Sharpie.
I hope not. And then we have one, Gwen was saying the other day, look at that little one. He's got a black hole in his head. He's just got a black spot right on the top of his head.
Oh, we can name him Spot.
We could. It's one of the runts, one of the little teeny ones.
See?
There are two of them that are spot just really runt. Small still. And so one or two of those might be males. We'll see, but I kind of doubt it. We ended up having to set up a new container for them.
Yeah, we couldn't fit any more jars in the first one.
In the first container, there's about 26 jars or something in that container, and then there's six more jars in the other container. And then three of the males, I have two of them at work, and then one of them, no.
You sold
two at work and then sold
three?
Two.
Two?
Sold two males and a female.
Okay.
So, and we've got some other people interested, but we're going to have to start advertising because our science projects are coming to a close, and then we're going to have to start finding homes for them all. So that'll be fun. But I think our local pet store will be able to take some of them. And it's easy enough to take females because you can put them all in the same tank. So hopefully that'll work out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, because this week Kelly's voice is not up to a whole lot, and because we have essentially finished what we endeavored to start this week, I think we're going to just wish you a fish.
Wish a fish for you.
We're going
that
to say
something out of the Dr. Seuss book.
It does.
Like
so
fish wish dish. If
it isn't
Dr. Seuss.
That isn't it. That isn't a Dr. Seuss book. Yeah. So may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.